What's up, everybody? What is going on? It is another episode of Double Tap, episode 5. Today is the 15th. We probably won't be posting until tomorrow. I am the homicidal Hispanic Dave. Always is with me, my boy.
Tony. Nothing special here. Just another white boy from the hood. Just right. Jenny from the block, you know.
Just, you know, don't be fooled by them rocks that you got.
Right. And this episode, like we said last time, we're going to go into time travel. That's what we're going to do at the end of this episode. We're going to give you some suggestions for that. But first off, let's jump into what we're playing. And let's start off with Dave. What you playing?
So I got into a little bit of the Life is Strange. And I liked it. I mean, a little thing about it that I didn't really particularly care for, just because now that the games are a lot better graphically, the lips syncing with what the people were saying kind of threw me off just a tad, because I'm like, okay, we're on next gen turf now. I feel like they should be doing a lot better job of the voices matching up with the mouths and not making it seem so like 1990 cartoonish
or but, Japanese anime or whatever,
or like an old school Godzilla movie.
Yeah,
but other than that, I feel like it was a pretty cool idea. I didn't like the idea that it was like from a younger generation's point of view. You know what I mean? Like where they it's people using phrases and stuff from now. Like this one girl was sitting there making fun of the main character, and she's like, "Oh, sad face." I'm like, "What?"
No. Yeah, she's talking with emoticons. Like, yeah, seriously, come on.
Like, come on, people. Like, yeah. That could kind of throw some people off. Thank God the main character doesn't say a whole lot of stuff like that. But she is kind of, I don't know. I don't want to say convoluted, but she's just like really almost hard to like initially. And then when you get into the fact that she can change time and rewind time, then it actually starts getting interesting and picking up. But it's like I really don't care too much about her problems. You know what I mean? Like she's kind of a hard person to relate to because she's from a different generation than myself. And the speech is completely different than what I'm used to because I really don't talk to a whole lot of people that are younger than myself. And when I do, they actually talk with the same level of, I don't know, speech patterns or whatever that I'm used to. Right. You know, I don't say LOL or OMG, or I don't say sad face and crap like that. You know, I'm from the 80s, dude. I don't sit
there. WTF, Dave. I don't understand what you're saying, bro.
Right? I don't know what that is. But, yeah, it's overall a pretty interesting experience, I think. Like I said, I barely touched into it. I didn't get a whole lot of time with it. But I feel like it could be okay. I don't know. What did you think? Have you tried it yet?
Yeah, I played through the first episode. I thought it was okay, I'm with you there. The character is hard to like because they really don't give you too much background story on her, really. You know, right. They just show her and that's about it. You know, they don't give you anything about her parents. I think she mentions them and that's about the gist of it. You don't see her parents at all, nothing like that.
Well, if you go into like the notes and the documents and stuff in her, I don't know what you want to call it, like her
journal.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And she also has like a phone that you could check like text messages from her parents and stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's right. I do remember her mom sending her a message.
Yeah, like a happy birthday. It was like her 18th birthday or some crap. And, but she's a college student. She's into photography and she's really hung up on her professor, which is kind of weird and creepy because he's like 10 years older than she is. And that just threw me off because I'm like, I don't want my character crushing on this older guy. You know what I mean? But, right. It's whatever. That's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Spoilers for the next, I'll say for the next 15 seconds, though. If when you hit that fire alarm and when you're in the bathroom, you hit the fire alarm, you cause it to go off, and then you talk to the principal. If you don't say anything to the principal about Nathan having the gun, your mom will send you a text saying, "I'm worried about you because your principal called me or emailed me and said, you know, said you're acting strange or something like that." So I do remember your mom interacting with you now, but like I said, I don't feel there was enough background to the main character to make you want to like her.
Snitch. I was like, yeah, that piece of crap had a gun.
Yeah, but then I did that too, though, initially, and then I rewound the time and then didn't say anything because he made it sound like he wasn't going to do anything about it because their family funds the school and owns the dorm rooms and...
Right.
Yeah, so I just rewound time, didn't say anything, and this went on with it.
But yeah, the aspect of rewinding time to fix mistakes and do things differently, I like that concept because it's a concept that I'm sure most people can relate to. Like, if I could just go back, you know, an hour, a minute, or a day, year, whatever, to fix this or that. That's something that a lot of people can relate to in their everyday lives. And I feel like that is, you know, probably the draw of the game, personally for me.
One last thing I will add to the talk about Life is Strange. I do like it. I think it adds, it's fresh to play adventure game that's not a Telltale game. And it doesn't feel to me as so linear. I mean, it is linear, don't get me wrong, but it just feels like you got more freedom to move around, and the controls are, I think, a lot better to move around with.
Yeah, true. It does feel a lot more free environment, I guess I want to say, that there's things you can explore within the world itself. Like she makes comments about cameras and other things in the environment, like bullies picking on nerds and things like that. And it was almost like Heavy Rain, where you walk around and you scan the environment, you check out different details, and you know, things about that environment can give you a better picture of what's going on around you. But in this case, it's not really that hard to tell if she's a college kid. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. So, any other games you've been playing?
Just wrapping up Dying Light. Finally got to the end of the campaign, and I wasn't disappointed. The only thing that disappointed me, this is a spoiler for anybody who hasn't beaten it yet.
So if you don't want to hear it, skip ahead 55 seconds. I inserted this after listening.
But the only thing that disappointed me was the boss fight at the end.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
You know, it just, I really wanted to just cut into Race.
Right.
You know
what I mean? Yeah.
I really just wanted to go toe-to-toe with him, knock out, you know, knock down, drag out fight, whatever. But it was a quick time event, and it really kind of pissed me off because the anticipation was building and building and building to the moment where he was climbing that gigantic-ass building to get to him, and you just quick time? Like, it's really anticlimactic, and I hated it, and it reminded me of the ending of Uncharted 3. And I just, I don't know. But, like, other than the fight itself, I believe they ended it really well. They definitely left it open for another one. And it was okay in my book. Like, I'm not going to say it was, like, the greatest ending of all time because it definitely wasn't. But it was good. It was way better than Dead Island, in my opinion. And I can't wait for the next one because hopefully with this next one, they fix the bugs like, I don't know, the Platinum Trophy not being attainable right now.
Right. Yeah, that's frustrating.
Things of that nature. But the co-op connectivity needs to be better. Some of the other trophies that are blocked out due to glitches in the coding or what have you need to be better. Other than that, for Techland stepping out on its own and taking what it learned from Dying Light and making their own standalone zombie game, I think they did great. I loved the first Dead Island, but as much as I loved that, I liked this one like 10 times more. The fluidity of the free running and the parkouring and incorporating that with killing zombies and everything, that was just amazing in my opinion. So, yeah, I thought it was great, and I can't wait to see what else they got coming out for it. You haven't gotten the DLC, the initial Cuisine and Cargo yet, have
no,
you?
No, nope, not yet.
Let me just save you $5 real quick. They could have done so much more with an initial DLC drop. Something like this, they could have done for free. I understand that they are having some free stuff coming very soon, they said. I seen a post of theirs a couple weeks back, or maybe even last week, I can't remember, that they are adding a hard mode and some free skins as a free update soon, which I'm hoping this update will include fixes to some of these glitched out trophies. But this Cuisine and Cargo DLC, I feel if anyone were to pay anything for it, it should have been like $1.
Right.
Just because all it was two quarantine zones, and there was nothing special about them. The only thing that was different about the final quarantine zone that I did was it was in a train yard, and the main mission was to drop a couple of cargo containers on top of these manholes that prevented the zombies from coming through them, and they were all runner zombies. They were all volatiles. So that was kind of cool because it acted a little, or it employed a little bit more interaction in the quarantine event itself. Other than that, though, I kind of want my $5 back. Like, it was it was kind of a waste of money, in my opinion. Like, I could have bought the full episode of or I could have put a, you know, money down on the pre-order for episode 2 of Life is Strange, and right. I would have been more satisfied with that. But anybody out there that's playing Dying Light and is liking it and you want more of it, honestly, you're not missing anything from not getting the Cuisine and Cargo DLC. It's just really kind of a waste of time. You don't get anything from it. You get, okay, admittedly, you do get like 7,500 Survivor XP, but by that
time... Just for buying it?
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
wow.
No. You actually have to complete...
I was going
to
say, just for buying it, that's kind of cheap. Okay, but yeah, you have to earn it. Okay, that's better.
Yeah, you have to actually complete each... I mean, it's 7,500 XP for survival per quarantine zone. But it's not worth $5. Like, you can farm XP for survival.
You know, yeah, I mean, right? Like, I do it every night.
Right.
In the game.
Right. But it's not worth it, folks. If you get it, if you're looking forward to getting it or whatever, just wait. Wait on something better.
Or if you already have the season pass, I think it's included in the season pass.
Yeah,
right?
It's definitely included in the season pass. I think it's like one of those things that they wanted to give you initially to be like, hey, here's a little bit more experience in Dying Light, but it's like a parking lot and a train yard.
And I thought it was kind of quick for a DLC to drop like that. You know, the game just came out, what was it, 4 weeks ago, if that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's. I think it's too fast for DLC to come out. A lot of people, I'm sure, is not through the game unless they, you know, at least people that work full-time jobs have not gotten through the game yet. So, but... That going to be it for the games you've been playing?
Yeah, for now. Till next week.
Right? So I just touched on some games that I've been playing. You know, since we're doing time travel, I was trying to catch up and do some research. So I hopped back on the Xbox One. If you guys remember back, they gave Super Time Force free with Xbox Gold. So I hopped back into that, did some gameplay. That game is so much fun. I didn't give it the time of day, really, when it first came out. And I got back into it just for this podcast, really. And I'm really liking it. It was worth getting back into. And I'll talk a little bit more on that later when we get into that section of the podcast. And then also I was playing Sleeping Dogs, the definitive edition or whatever you want to call the next-gen console edition. So I'm just starting into that, maybe two and a half hours in. You play, if you're not familiar, you play a undercover drug officer, someone. You're trying to bring down the triads. I'm not very far into the game, so I really can't tell you too much of the story, and what you really don't want me to spoil it unless you're not going to play it. But yeah, it's kind of a beat 'em up kind of Double Dragon-ish game.
If you've ever played like True Crime back on the, I want to say it was the PS2, True Crime, and then the sequel True Crime Streets of LA, it's exactly almost like that. You run around the city, Grand Theft Auto style, where there's, you know, tons of streets and cars to boost. You can steal cars or what have you to get around the city. But then you can also go into like dojos and upgrade your fighting skills.
Yeah.
There's little hidden things to find and different weapons to acquire. And
yeah, I was finding a bunch of statues and taking them back to the dojo, and he'd teach me different melee combats. It definitely does feel like an inferior version of Grand Theft Auto. So
right.
I do, you know, on the one podcast I was recording before, I was saying that I wasn't a big fan of sandbox-style games. They're slowly growing on me after playing Watch Dogs and Red Dead Redemption. I think Red Dead Redemption was one of the games that did it well and made me start liking sandbox-style games. And then, like, Infamous, Second Son. So I'm slowly coming around to liking those kind of games. So I thought I'd give this one a try.
Right. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I never really was too keen on the idea to after Grand Theft Auto 3 drop. I liked it, but I was like, you know, this may be too much. But then after going through games like in time spans of days, like when you get a brand new game, you beat it like 3 days. I was like, well, this could actually be a great thing because there's so much stuff to do. This one game will keep me busy long enough until my next anticipated game comes out. So...
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to do in, you know, like Red Dead and Grand Theft Auto. They have so many different side missions you can do, and yeah, I like it.
Yep.
So that's going to be it for what we're playing. Let's hop into the news. Last week we talked about Daybreak Gaming Company, which was the investment firm that, or the company that bought Sony Online Entertainment, they are laying off some people, which is kind of unfortunate because you wouldn't think they would, because they're not merging two companies, so it's not like they have duplicate jobs. It's not like they have reason to do layoffs. So I think it's kind of unfortunate that people lose their jobs for that. I feel sorry for those people, and I hope they find jobs elsewhere, and maybe they can work on what they really want to. Hopefully it's a good thing for them, but I really don't think it is. So it kind of sucks. I hate seeing when people get laid off. It happens a lot in this industry, though. I mean, you see it all the time.
It kind of seems to be the MO for any new company that takes over another company. The first order of business is some of you are out the door because you're loyal, or you're not loyal enough, or this and that. For any whatever reason, it just always seems to be the thing where new company takes over old company. Many people lose their jobs. It's just kind of how it always goes everywhere.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and they haven't canceled any of the games in the works right now, which I hope they don't. You know, it's probably going to happen, though. I mean, they have probably different views on games that are in development than what the previous company had. So I really don't want to see any of the games they had in development go away, especially if you're looking forward to them. So,
speaking of views on games, not to get too off track, but I kind of want to jump just a little bit just to make sure that we are covering all of our bases. What's playing in the background for us during our voice work right now?
Yeah, we're going to, since of course you would have known by now, you're not seeing my beautiful face and Dave's somewhat beautiful face. You're going to see some Life is Strange and some Super Time Force Delta. And if I can manage to get some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in time for the SNES, I'm trying to get that all put together for you. So hopefully I'll have that up on YouTube by Monday. If not, I'll be on there on Tuesday, and I'm hoping to have the podcast definitely up by Monday. So hopefully you're listening to it and having a good time right now.
Hopefully.
And then so watching it on Tuesday. Had the club going up on a Tuesday.
Whenever you get to it. It doesn't have to be Tuesday. It can be Wednesday if you want. Just saying.
Right. I'm just saying. It'll get out there.
Getting back into the news now. We got, basically some of the stuff we were saying about Dying Light, about how the trophies have not been fixed yet.
Yeah, they did a patch, which I'm not sure what the patch really fixed. If you're not familiar, there's a problem with the coding on the complete all the side quest missions, and one of the side quests was called Get Antibiotics, which a lot of people were speculating that it's a DLC and that you're not going to be able to get it till the DLC drops. I don't think that's the case. I think what had happened was they put this mission in prior to the game being certified, and the game, maybe something with that mission, made it fail cert, and they were like, all right, just take it out. Not thinking about the trophies, took it out of the game, and now it won't pop, which really is unfortunate, because now that makes the platinum locked, and you're not going to be able to obtain the platinum trophy.
Only that, but I feel like there is another one that's like seeming to be a constant glitch where, and you've been with me several times when we try to do this, where you try to do the trophy for completing five missions back to back with the same crew of four people.
Yes.
And it seems like every time we get to that fourth freaking mission, they always boot someone out, like always, like clockwork. We'll just get done with that fourth one and get ready to start the fifth, and bam, someone's ass gets tossed out like last year's trash. Like, it's so frustrating because I've done this with like five groups now.
Yeah, I think we just need to have one person start over and start with the beginning missions and just go straight through. Nobody look around for anything, just straight missions and get it done, which sucks because you shouldn't have to do that. You should be able to play the game you want. You know, we like to play games for a while. We don't like to just, you know, we only have an hour before one of us gets kicked. Let's hurry up and get five missions out, you know.
Right.
So that really sucks.
Yeah, I don't know if it's
sensitive
or not, but
that's one of the biggest pros of the game is being able to do co-op with your friends through the game, and the fact that that's not working all the time, that one of your friends gets booted and you have to redo it, it kind of sucks.
I am going to give a shout out to not only my boy Ray as Hell again, but my brother Order 426 or Mike, as everybody else knows him, because he has been beast mode into that entire game pretty much by himself. I got to co-op with him once for like an hour or something like that. And that poor guy has had to do the entire damn game by himself. Now, granted, and this might be another spoiler for anybody, for the very final sequence, you do have to do it by yourself. Like, the game literally makes you go into solo mode for the end sequence. But for every other part of the game, my little brother, 6 years younger, has had to go through it by himself, which is kind of shitty. And I feel bad for it because every single time we tried to connect, he's gotten booted. Or it's just been too late at night or whatever. But I tell you what, my boy trucked on, got through, beat to the end. And it's just kind of a shame because stuff like that makes it hard to enjoy games the way they were meant to be. You know, four-player co-op or
right.
whatever.
I almost wonder what his view of the game is. I kind of want to get his perspective since he played it solo. You know, if he maybe found some flaws that maybe we didn't.
Yeah. But he said he liked the overall experience. It's just that he wishes he could have been able to get in with a full group or more. Like, connecting with me didn't seem to be a problem until about after an hour or so. Then we started getting hiccups here and there. But every time he tried to connect with me and any other people, it was an instant boot, no matter what he did. So I think you might just need to pay for a little bit stronger internet. But regardless of whether or not his internet strength is subpar, he still should have been able to connect. Like, I feel like their connectivity should be way better than it is, just because of A, you know, people with weaker NAT types or weaker signals can't really do anything about it because they can't always afford to boost up, or B, like things like the trophies being blocked out because you can't stay connected to your group long enough to complete certain things.
So, yeah, it kind of stinks sometimes for certain platinum trophies when you gotta do stuff online. I know before I wasn't a big multiplayer online kind of person, so I tried to stay away from games that made you do certain things online. So I know when I check the trophies list, and if it's got online trophies, I kind of stay away from trying to platinum that game.
Yeah, that's what made me stop trying to platinum the Assassin's Creed series, because after 2, they started requiring you to get online trophies to platinum it. And I was like, you know what? I'm not really a fan of the online multiplayer for Assassin's Creed. And they actually, I mean, some games do have online trophies that don't require you to get them to platinum the game. I want to say the Uncharted series is one of those games, but I'm actually pretty sure that Uncharted 2 and 3 is not required to get the online stuff in order to get platinum. But
I think you had to play maybe a round on Uncharted 2, do something. I think you had to play a round online.
Yeah, it might have been something to the effect of actually playing one or two matches or something like that. But I know for sure I didn't have to get all of the online trophies in order to have it platinum. Like, I had it platinumed at like 80-something percent. And that might have included the DLC stuff. I'm not 100% sure because it's been forever. But I know for sure I didn't get all the online trophies and I platinumed at least one of them. So, but like the Assassin's Creeds, when they first introduced the multiplayer, then they started requiring you to have all the trophies even in the multiplayer. Even ones that were really, really hard to get. You had to have them in order to get that platinum. And I was just like, you know what? It's not even worth it because I don't play. You know, this was back when the good Call of Duties were still out. You know, like Black Ops 1 and 2 and, you know, not Ghost, but I was still playing it. So I guess right. It counts. But, yeah, I just didn't dig that. I didn't dig the fact that they required you to have those online stuff. And then Medal of Honor, the remake for Medal of Honor, was the same exact way. They required you to have those online trophies, and one of those was really, really hard for, I know, some of my friends to get, where you had to get like 25 kills in a row, basically like the highest kill streaks of Call of Duty. You had to get like 25 kills in a row without dying, and I actually got it, and the second I got it and I got my platinum, I sold that bitch because I was just done with it.
Yeah.
Because they use the DICE engine, and I'm not a huge Battlefield fan anyway. I know, I can hear the complaints now, but whatever. My thing is, online trophies, I feel like they should not be required to get the platinum for the core of the game.
Right. That's just me, though. Yeah, so that's enough about that. So let's just hop into what's coming out next week.
True.
So games coming out next week, let's start with the Wii U. The Kirby's, what's that?
The Wii Me or the Wii U?
The Wii Me. Wii U.
The Wii I?
The Wii Wii.
The Wii Squared?
It's a French-Canadian.
Oh, gotcha.
But anyways, Kirby and the Rainbow Curse comes out on Friday the 20th. It's kind of that clay aesthetic, looks like Kirby's Epic Yarn, I believe it was, for the Wii.
Right.
Wii 1.
Maybe.
Yeah. But anyways, I got Kirby's Epic Yarn. I'd never played it, so I don't think I'm going to waste my money on this one.
True.
So I bought, you know, I like the Kirby's on the SNES and regular Nintendo, so I thought, why not try it on the Wii, and got it, and I never even threw it in the system, so I don't even want to waste my money.
Yep, the only time I ever really messed around with any Kirby games was the original Game Boy games, the SNES stuff, and then I didn't touch anything Kirby related until Smash Brothers. So.
Oh, nice, nice. And then I think that's going to be it for the Wii U, so let's move on to PlayStation 4. On Friday, The Order 1886 comes out.
Yes.
From your studio, Ready at Dawn, published by Sony, of course.
Of course.
That game's, it looks amazing. I hope it lives up to what it looks like. I hope it plays good and has a great story.
I do have a lot of high expectations for it, just because anytime Sony has had a first party title come out, and even if it was a new IP, they've done really, really well with them. They've been very successful for all their franchises, pretty much, in my opinion, like the God of Wars, Uncharted, even Last of Us, when that came out. That's a new IP, and it was amazing. So
I might get some hate for this one, but I really like Resistance Fall of Man, and I'm a Microsoft fan.
That was good, too.
That, yeah. You know, I consider myself more of a Microsoft player than a PlayStation, but I really love Resistance Fall of Man, because the first one was co-op, and the second one, you could do co-op, but you can't do the normal campaign co-op, which was frustrating. But
yeah,
back to what you're saying. I'm sorry. Just had to throw that out there.
No, you're fine. Yeah, no, Resistance was great, too, because my wife and I actually complete the campaign on co-op on there, too.
Yeah, I'd say that's what me and my wife did, too. So it made it nice to be able to play a game with your partner or whatever you want to do, so...
Right, your special partner, your life partner.
Yep.
Whatever kind of partners you're into. But I apologize.
Excuse me.
I apologize if I sound like crap. A little under the weather. Damn weather change. I don't know what it's doing to my sinuses, but I feel fine mentally. Physically, it's not so much.
That's to be debated, but...
This is true. This is true.
Only other thing I can see here on IGN's upcoming game for PlayStation and all that other shiz is Dead or Alive 5, The Last Round.
Oh, I'm so excited for that.
Right? Is that the one where they're always in the swimsuits? I never played them. I just remember looking at the cover. I'm like, okay, my wife would probably kill me if I play this game.
It's a fighting game that is not really a fighting game, but it pretends that it's a fighting game with very exaggerated... figured women, I guess you want to say. Like, their proportions are, like, way out of control.
And like how Tomb Raider used to be?
Yes, exactly. Okay, gotcha. Like, but except these chicks make old-school Lara Croft cry.
Oh, like, gotcha.
I think there at some point you can actually just watch people play on the live stream, and all they do is they move their female characters up and down just to see them bounce. Like, it's kind of sad.
That's really sad.
It's really sad, but I mean, hey, everybody's got to get through Valentine's Day somehow, right?
Right, that is true. So, we're sorry if we offended you and that's how you spent your Valentine's Day.
I'm not.
Not necessarily a game, but an add-on for a PlayStation 4. And I'm not sure if the add-on's for Vita as well, but Resogun Defender. It's $4.99. You get it if you had the season pass. It's by your developer, Housemarque. It adds new ships, new planets, and two new game modes. So I really liked the game modes are Protector and Commando.
Ooh,
so I'm not sure what the special game modes are. I'm going to try them out, though. But I did really like that Resogun because it was the free PlayStation Plus game. The first PlayStation 4 game I played because it was free when you got it. So
I'm guessing in that Commando mode, it's just you and your ship with no clothes.
Right. Rocking Commando.
Going Commando. But yeah, Resogun was definitely great. If you're a fan of the old school side-scrolling ship shooter games like, oh man, R-Type. R-Type is like the first one that comes to mind. That's kind of what Resogun is, except Resogun's more like in a 3D space because the maps are circular. You just basically fly around in a giant circle, and the landscape can change, but it typically doesn't. Like, there's little lava pits that shoot lava rocks or what have you. I don't know what these new maps are going to look like, but it'd be kind of cool if the landscape changed as you flew around. But if you've never checked out Resogun, you're probably going to have to pay for it now because it used to be free for PS Plus members, but now it's not. The same as Outlast. Outlast was one of the first PS4 games I played, and now that is not free either. So either way, Resogun is not. I don't feel like even if I had to pay for it, it'd be a waste of money because...
Yeah, it's definitely worth, I think it's 15 or 20 bucks. It's definitely worth it. I played it a lot.
Well, even without the DLC, the free patch that they released, you can custom create your own ships. Like, I've seen people play around with little mock versions. Yeah, the Normandy or the USS Enterprise. Or people play as Iron Man or Superman just flying through the space. Or I've seen somebody created a ship that was a giant middle finger. Like, oh, wow. It was crazy. But yeah, it's definitely not a waste of money. I would check that out if you guys got a few extra bucks and you just want something to play on your own. There is also co-op on that, too. You can play with, I believe, two players.
Yeah, I know there's co-op on there. I can't remember if you attach to each other's ships or not on that one. No. Okay, I'm getting that confused with the Aegis Wing on Xbox. You fly around completely on your own
because my brother and I, we did the share play with that, which is another awesome feature the PS4 offers. But we did a share play, and he had his own separate screen. I had my own separate screen, and we were not limited to each other's distance. Like, we could fly around wherever we wanted to, and it actually kept things less confusing when we were next to each other, because sometimes when you're in those smaller 3D spaces and your character looks almost, or your ship looks almost exactly like the other person's ship, there's just a slight difference in color tones or what have you. It can be a little hectic when you're bombarded with thousands of enemy ships and you're trying to dodge bullets here and there and you're like, crap, which ship am I? And then you explode, right. You're like, oh, that one. You know? So, but it is still a lot of fun. You can do couch co-op with it. You can do online co-op with it. And
it's, the game looks beautiful, too. There's so much going on the screen. Oh, the graphics it looks really good. So
it's really sharp. So, yeah, there's that.
And then the only other game is Pillar. I'm sorry, that's a PlayStation 4 game as well. And that's by Michael Arts and published by Michael Arts. So it's a puzzle game, and it takes place in the snowy towns. All I know about it, and I don't really care about it. That's that.
Yeah, it sounds like the
ultimate... I shouldn't say I don't care about it. It's not a game I'm going to put any time into, I should say.
So basically, we don't care about it.
Unless I hear something on one of the podcasts I listen to that make me interested into this game. As of right now, it's not something I care to play.
I don't know. Games that tend to have a one-word title and that one word sounds like something stationary does not seem to be too exciting to me. It's like,
I think that works for movies, too.
Yeah.
Like phone booth.
This summer, get ready for Square. It's like, I probably won't do that, bro.
Right?
Like, I want to be Circle. So, yeah, it's not happening.
Yeah, get out of here, Square.
Yeah.
This but is my space.
Pillar, that's just the name of it, Pillar. Not like Pillar of Doom or Pillar of Sexiness. It's just Pillar.
Yeah, just Pillar.
Yeah, that's no bueno. I don't think I'll be checking that out either.
No dice.
So basically we're not caring too much about this.
Nope. And then just out of curiosity, I wanted to look on Steam to see what games were coming out. And I did a search for new games that came out, and I got about 5 pages of results. Wow. So that's another reason why I really don't mention PC games unless it's going to be a big title or something.
Right.
Or it's something notable to mention. So one thing I will mention I heard on a couple of different podcasts was Darkest Dungeon. It's supposed to be like that Rogue Legacy game I was playing.
Oh, yeah. It's like an 8-bit side-scrolling game, but I believe you can play that with 4 players, can't you?
I thought I did see something about... I don't know if it's 4 like co-op players, but you do have a party you control. So it's not like Rogue Legacy where you just play one player. I think you have an actual party, and each party member has a stress level. The longer you're in the dungeon, the more things that go wrong.
Yeah,
so it sounds interesting. I browsed at it real quick, and I ended up not getting it. I didn't like the art style, but I mean, you might like it. Just look at it on Steam. Doesn't hurt to look at it or check out the trailer they have.
Yeah, if you got the IGN app on your PS4, I believe those guys did some Let's Plays with that game. And, I mean, I watched about 2 minutes of it before I realized there was other stuff I could be watching.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah, you're right. The art style was kind of retro, and it looked fun. But it's just one of those things where all my friends are playing high-end games right now. You know, I got people playing Evolve, and I got people playing...
Why? You
know, Dying Light. Well, that's... that's another one of those games where the concept seems okay, but at the same time, it can be very repetitive very quickly.
Right.
And yeah, you can say that about a lot of games, but I mean, this is so much more so only because there's literally five different entities at any given time you can be. Like, granted, the monsters you could choose from are different, but you're still a monster versus four humans, or four humans versus a monster, and it doesn't get... Like, I watched a few sessions of my friend, High Def Ninja. He was playing Evolve, and I watched him play as a medic hunter and as a, I want to say, Goliath monster, like the default monster. And it seemed like it could be a lot of fun for all of about an hour or two.
Yeah.
And after that, it's just like, man, like, unless it gets a little bit more dynamic, like within the landscape or whatever, or different kinds of modes, I really don't see the appeal of coming back to it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to spend $60 for something like that where it's like basically like a big game of tag.
Right.
Know? It's like 4-on-1, so it's basically like reverse tag. You know?
The only appeal I can see is why people buy Call of Duty just for multiplayer and not the story. So,
right.
I mean, I could see that, but...
Like I said, you know, you could say games are repetitive for a lot of different categories, like Call of Duty or whatever. And yeah, you have that, but then my rebuttal would be in Call of Duty, the matches can be different every time you play.
Yeah,
you
know what that's
I mean?
True.
Like I seen the basic, I want to say, formula for these matches, where if you're the monster, your initial duty is to go and get stronger by devouring other smaller monsters within the map. So you want to try to upgrade as fast as you can. And then as the hunters, your only job is to just hunt this badass down and kill him before he gets a chance to kill you. So if that's what it is, then it's like, yeah, it's really repetitive because you're literally doing the exact same thing. Whereas in Call of Duty, you can map out different kinds of strategies. You can use different weapons. You can do this and that. And I understand you get different upgrades and abilities and what have you and evolve. But it's the same exact... I don't know. I guess I'm just probably repeating myself because you could say the same thing, like I said, and I'm not blind to the fact that you could do the same thing in Call of Duty where you'd be like, oh, well, Team Deathmatch is the same, or Domination is the same. Yeah, but you have...
Different game type modes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have different game types. You have different rules. You have different ways you can go about doing stuff. You can run through an entire match or mode using just a shield or be a troll and use C4 packs or whatever. In Evolve, you're either the monster or you're the humans, and you're upgrading or you're killing. You know, it's... That's it. It's I don't see the appeal for going back. So yeah, I'll probably get blowback for saying that about it when, like I said, Call of Duty could be referenced as repetitive as well. But at least with Call of Duty, you have options. You
right.
Know? So
Evolve's a game I gotta try out first before I commit $60 to. If I rent it or something, and you know, I could see it being that addicting game where you want to keep playing it, but. Like you said, I could see it getting old fast, though.
I feel like people might be just getting it as a filler between other stuff, you know, because
yeah.
Dying Light's obviously been done now. You know, people have either beaten it or they're still trying to scrape and scratch.
Right, and who knows when Fallout 4 is coming out.
Right, yeah, so. Fallout 4 is probably going to be forever. But, you know, the next immediate thing in my future is, like we said, The Order, and that's going to be... Probably a lot of my gaming time on that.
Yep. I know one of the games I was really looking forward to is Quantum Break, which is an Xbox exclusive, which has to do with time manipulation, which is kind of fitting, but yeah.
Yeah, just in case everybody wasn't picking up on it, our theme for this month, for February, and for this episode in particular, is going to be time travel. And I know we said that earlier, but you know, just in case, just get past the introductions or whatever. I don't blame you. I don't like the introductions either.
Hey, I might even throw some time music in here. Who knows?
Bring so, it.
But anyways,
we actually have some suggestions for different time travel related media that you guys may or may not want to check out while digging with this month's theme, or digging on The Order when it comes out, or even on Life is Strange.
Yeah.
So tell them what you got for us on the movies section of our category.
Well, personal favorite of mine, Butterfly Effect. You know, it was weird the first time I seen Ashton Kutcher out of to see him in a serious role. You know, you usually seen him on That 70s Show. He always played, you know, that idiot kind of character. You seen him
or
play
Punk'd.
You're right. Yeah, Punk'd, yeah. I forgot he was on that too.
Yep.
But you know, I think he did a really good job acting in this movie. It shows that, you know, he would go back into time. Spoilers if you haven't watched it. He'd go back in time, he'd change things, and he'd come back to the present, and things would be different and sometimes worse, and he just keeps going back and forth until he figures it out. So, good movie, great premise. I think it has, is it Amy Smart, is that her name?
It is Amy Smart that is Ashton Kutcher's love interest in Butterfly Effect.
So, I'm more of a funny movie kind of guy. I like comedies. So, yeah. Austin Powers, Goldmember, great movie. I love Mike Myers. He's great.
I think, and this may be the same one for a lot of people, but my all-time favorite quote-unquote time-traveling movie always going to be the Back to the Future series. I mean, it doesn't get more classic than that. Just, you know, George and or not George McFly, that's the dad, Marty McFly, Doc and the crew, you know, their shenanigans throughout the different time periods. It was just what I grew up on, you know. It was the 80s and it was 1985 and Marty, you gotta go back, and you know all this other crap. So it was always classic, and I got my kids to watch it, and they loved it too. So I feel like that's one of those series of movies that's always gonna live, you know, throughout time as being just a classic set of movies.
Yeah, that's one I remember the first one very well. Second one vaguely, third one not at all. So
well, according to the second movie, we should all have hover cars and hoverboards and 3D Jaws movies.
And they had that weird, like, convection oven. They put the small pizza in and pulled out.
Yeah, the dehydration oven or the hydrating oven. I can't remember what
that was. And they had those weird, like, Nike shoes, too, that, like, lace themselves up, I think. In that
self-lacing shoes, yeah. And I think they actually did make a pair of self-lacing shoes in the real world.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I saw a picture on that, like, a little while ago, and they looked pretty funny. But speaking of funny time travel / material, Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh, love it.
The first one. Hilarious. Yeah. Absolutely hilarious. I loved it.
Yeah, I laughed the whole time through that movie. That was great.
I can't remember, other than Craig Robinson, I can never remember the other... Oh, John Cusack. But I can never remember the other guy's name. I believe his name was... I want to say it was Lou or Stu in the movie.
Because he changed the name of Motley Crue to Motley Lou.
Groundhog Day, another classic in my opinion. Bill Murray, reliving the same day over and over till he gets everything right. This is so good. And I know a lot of people don't really think of it this way, but Terminator. Terminator was a good time travel movie because Kyle Reese and the Terminator got sent back from the future to the past
to the present, sort of, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, they got sent back from the future to our present at the time, because I believe the movie came out.
Which is the past now.
Right. Exactly. It's a little but yeah, that was a great series, and they all kind of dealt with the same time travel aspect in all of them. 12 Monkeys, Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Great movie. Brad Pitt was in there too, being all...
I believe they're making a TV show about that now, aren't they? I thought I seen something.
TV show of 12 Monkeys. And
I don't know if it's same premise or not.
It kind of is, except it doesn't have Brad Pitt or Bruce Willis. So
right.
It's just one of those things where they kind of took this idea that already happened, and I believe it's being made by the Sci-Fi Channel. So you can always count on them to do great quality stuff like Sharknado.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
Speaking of not so good movies, one of mine from when I was younger, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
Now, we do have to include that because A, it is Turtles, and B, it is a time travel movie. But you're right, it is one of my least favorite Turtle movies. I mean, I'd still watch it, but probably not by choice.
Right. I mean, when we were younger, you know, Ninja Turtles were iconic. You know, right. You always had the figurines you always played with. So you watched all the movies, played all the Super Nintendo, the Sega games that came out. So
Yep, that was another one, too. Also, the newest one that comes to mind, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm really looking forward to seeing it, Project Almanac.
And yes, that looks really good. I do want to see that.
If I'm not mistaken, which I could be, that has been known to happen on a rare occasion. I believe they use parts of an Xbox or a Kinect or something Xbox or something gaming related they use.
So you're telling me Microsoft paid for product placement in this movie?
I'm sure Bill Gates had his dirty little fingers somewhere in there.
You know what would be even better, though, is if this was a Sony film?
That would be... because shenanigans ensue while their time-traveling hijinks are happening. And kind of like in Butterfly Effect, every time they go back and change something different, something changes in their present or the future or whatever. And they have to go back and fix it. So that would be funny.
It would be even better if they couldn't because their time machine red rings.
Right, yeah. They get stuck in the past because their time machine gets a red ring of death.
How funny would that be?
Hilarious. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. It looks like a good one. Last thing on my list, well, last couple things on my list, X-Men Days of Future Past. I thought they did a great job on fixing every crappy movie before that. Like, not saying First Class is crappy because I actually like First Class.
Yeah, I like First Class too.
But the other three X-Men movies, they were basically, with Days of Future Past, saying, hey, we realize we screwed up, so in order to fix it, we're just going to do a little time travel and make sure that all that crappy stuff never happened, which I thought was brilliant. And I know that the X-Men series wasn't done by Marvel. It was done by Fox. And so even though they didn't have the geniuses that do all the writing behind Marvel, they still had an amazing way to be like, hey, look, we effed up. We're going to fix this for you. So we're going to send Wolverine back in time and make everything right again. So I'm sorry. I just hit my mic right there.
No, you're good. You're good. We'll leave it in. It's fine. But they don't mind.
Don't let it
happen again.
I promise. If I don't, you can just rewind the tape in time and we'll fix it later.
Nah, we're going to leave it in here. But anyways, speaking of Days of Future Past, it's based on the early comics from the 80s. Written by Chris Claremont and John Byrne. And in the comic, they actually send Kitty Pryde back, and they do a good nod, I think, a good nod to it. I kind of wanted to see Kitty Pryde go back and see how they would do it, because she was played by Ellen Page, right?
Right.
Yep. And I think Ellen Page is a good actress, so I would kind of like to see her go back instead of Hugh Jackman, who's been in a shit ton of X-Men movies now. But, yeah.
but I mean, I don't know. Wolverine growing up was always one of my favorite characters. And I think Hugh did a great job.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Not knocking him as an actor or anything. He's
right.
God, that dude's a beast, though, man.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was true, the rumors that were going around, but apparently he had, like, skin cancer twice from playing Wolverine or some crap like that. And even if that was true, the man was beast mode on skin cancer. I'm just telling you that.
Right. Jeez. So anyways, in the comic, you know, they send Kitty Pryde back to right before she goes into training, before she learns any of her abilities take form or whatever. And in the movie, they send Wolverine back. And I'm having issues with the movie. I don't remember how far back they sent Wolverine. It's like way back before he even met the professor, right? Like, he didn't even know the professor.
Right. Yeah, he didn't even know the professor. There was a lot of things that seemed kind of out of place for me, like the fact that Quicksilver, the guy who runs really, really fast, he in the comics is actually Magneto's son.
Right.
And in the movie, he didn't seem like he was that too far from Magneto's age. Yeah, you could obviously tell there was an age difference, but it kind of seemed like if that was Magneto's son, then he was nailing somebody when he was like 13. You know what I mean? So
I mean, he's a mutant, man. He's got skills.
It's possible. I'm not saying it's not possible, but they kind of, Fox has had a history, especially with this X-Men series, of kind of screwing up and getting their characters out of whack. Now, it could have been the thing of they figured since they were going back in time, they could kind of do that or whatever. But any of the diehard or even mediocre hard fans of the X-Men series know that Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are the children of Magneto. And for him to be early, mid, late teenagers in the movie back then when him and Xavier were still younger men doesn't really line up with the normal timeline of Magneto and his kids. So hopefully, I don't know what they're going to do with this Avengers movie, The Age of Ultron, which also ties in those series tie in with the books that we're talking about. I don't know how the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are going to tie in and what their origins are going to be in the movies, because Fox owns the rights to the X-Men movies and the mutant-based stuff, and Marvel owns, you know, their normal rights to, like, Iron Man and the rest of those guys. But yet the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are going to be in this one, this next Avengers. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the movie universe. But going off of the Days of the Future Past books and into Age of Ultron, the book version of the movie that's going to come out here in May, which I can't wait to see that. That was another good time travel-esque series in the comics when the Avengers had to deal with a version of their world where Ultron ruled. There was just a lot of detail into it. I'm not going to get into all of it because there's actually quite a few suggestions here on my comic list. And I don't know if Good. You had any more.
No, the only one I have is that Days of Future Past. And I know they did reprint it. They put the two issues because it was only a two-issue thing. It was the Uncanny X-Men issue 141, 142, which I might already said. But if I didn't, I'm just going to re-say it. So They did, right before the movie was out, they did put those together. And they might have even done it before then and put it out into a little graphic novel or whatever you want to call it and publish it that way. So you can get it fairly cheap. You don't have to pay a lot of money for someone that collects it and all that good jazz.
But another good one, sticking on the Avengers side, is Avengers Forever. And I don't want to say lesser known, because anybody who's been reading the Marvel books forever, like the straight up Marvel fans, know pretty much everything there is to know about the Avengers and their foes or whatever. But in this particular series, Kang, who is a time-traveling bad guy, depending on which era he's coming from, he is fighting an older version of himself known as Immortus. And Kang goes back through several time periods through the time stream to recruit different Avengers to help him defeat himself. And there's just, you know, the complexity of making paradoxes, changing history, and all this other stuff. But the Avengers stuff with Kang and Ultron has always been really compelling to me, just because you always have these, like, alternate outcomes. They have movies on Netflix right now called Next Avengers, where it's the children of the Avengers, like the son of Captain America and Black Widow and things like that. They are fighting Ultron in a dystopian future where he has basically destroyed every Avenger except for Iron Man and Hulk. And they're obviously way older and way more weathered and beaten than you would know them nowadays. But, you know, anytime you see an Avengers book with Ultron or Kang, it's always a good read. So if you have any time to hit your local comic shops anytime soon, I would definitely check those out. The only book in the reading category here. Book without pictures.
Yeah, see, I don't read those.
I have, and I can tell you some of them are very enjoyable.
Unless they're in audio form and someone's reading them to me.
Right. You definitely don't want to pick up any of your mom's novels with any guys that look like Fabio on the front cover. That's just no good. Or 50 Shades of Grey. That's, don't pick that up.
That's a good movie. I'm just kidding. I have no clue.
I feel like I don't know you right now. But yeah, The Time Machine by H.G. Wells. That's going to always be known as a classic. That's going to probably live on throughout history as a... I mean, anything by H.G. Wells is classic.
Now, I got a question. It's going to be dumb, of course, because it's coming from me. But the movie with Paul Walker, is that... Did they base that on that book, or does that have nothing to do with it?
It had nothing to do with it, my friend.
Okay, cool.
Now
I believe that was Paul Walker.
Yeah, there was one with Paul Walker, and they actually did make a movie adaptation of The Time Machine, but I can't for the life of me remember what the name of that movie with Paul Walker was, where he traveled through time back to, like, medieval... Oh, Timeline. That's what it was. He traveled back to, like, medieval times, and he was going after... I want to say his dad or a professor or something. I can't remember. I'm a horrible Paul Walker fan. Like, I like Paul Walker, but I can't remember for the life of me what this movie is
about. You mean you liked?
Maybe with a little help from IMDb, I could figure it out. But, yeah, it says a group of archaeological students become trapped in the past where they go to retrieve their professor. So I was right, the professor. And the group must survive in 14th century France. So I was wrong about the medieval thing, but I guess it's kind of along the same line because they had knights and whatnot. But 14th century France, long enough to be rescued. So it was okay. It wasn't like the best Paul Walker movie of all time. It got a 5.6 on IMDb, so there's that. But, you know, it was all right. But, yeah, that's another time-traveling movie. And, of course, we're not going to get through every reference in each category. Like, we're not going to get all the time-traveling movies you could think of or all the books and music and TV shows or games and what have you. These are just some references for you guys. Some stuff that may have been forgotten or may not have been forgotten or stuff you might have not even known about that, you know, if you're into our category of the month, time travel, just like last month we did zombies, you know, you could go check some of the stuff out for yourself. And, you know, these are things that Tony and I personally have enjoyed or have heard good things about from other people. So,
yeah. So, like we're trying to get some interaction from you guys too. So if there's something we missed that you like, tweet at us. Or for the next category, which we haven't decided yet. But when we do, let us know if there's something in that category you want us to mention, and we can put it in here and let you know.
Definitely. So moving along from the Marvel side of stuff, I'm only going to do a couple of more comic references or slash book or whatever. For all you DC fans out there, a couple of good stories is... this is a really old one, but it's The Legion of Superheroes. And this is back when Clark Kent was just kind of getting into his super tights and doing, you know, superhero, Superman stuff. But he travels to the future to try to make a difference for people that are having, I guess, trouble dealing with villains in the future. And the weird thing about this is he can travel willfully back and forth through time. But the only consequence is every time he goes back to his present, he forgets everything about what he did to the future. So I never read this series myself. I'm not a huge DC fan. I do enjoy some stuff from DC. But this one kind of seems interesting because I don't know what is compelling him to keep going to the future if he forgets about everything that he's done. So it's kind of interesting. If you're a DC fan, go look that one up. There's another one, Armageddon 2001, DC 1 Million. That one seems really good too. It's there's a bad guy in the future responsible for his own creation in the past that I guess it's going to cause all kinds of bad stuff. But the heroes, I'm not going to give you any spoilers because I haven't finished this one either, but the heroes may or may not save the day because of a plan that they set in motion 831 centuries earlier. So if you know math at all, that's a long freaking time. Like, that's a ridiculous amount of time to hatch a plan. So, knowing DC, they'll come up with some way to, you know, make that work or whatever, make it not boring. But the one out of all of these, like, not the Marvel side, but all the DC ones, the one that is the most interesting to me, only because I've always liked this character, he'll probably always be my favorite DC character, but it's the return of Bruce Wayne. And this takes place after the fight with Darkseid, or Darkseid, however you want to pronounce it, in Final Crisis, where he supposedly dies, but he doesn't die. He gets, quote-unquote, deposited into the distant past, and he goes through several time periods, like caveman days, pirate times, and stuff like that, trying to recover his memory, because he has a little bit of amnesia when he first touches down through time. And it's actually a secret plot by Darkseid to have Bruce gather this Omega energy for a plot he's been setting into motion. But each time Bruce jumps through a different time period, he's collecting more and more Omega energy. And Bruce sets things into motion through each time period to leave himself hints as to who he really is and this and that. And it's just a really well woven plot, and it's really good. So if you get a chance, if you're a DC fan, go check out Return of Bruce Wayne. And that's it on my end on the book section. Tony, what do you
That's it. I didn't have any books, man. I don't read very much. I just like books with pictures, so I stick to comics, man.
So this is going to be an awkward kind of subcategory
for our topic
book. Music.
Yeah, there we go.
So yes, there's plenty of different types of musics out there, and yes, there's all kinds of songs that can put you in the mood for different things, but how do you really get in the mood for time travel? You know what I mean? Like,
the only one that really stands out to me when I think about it is the one from Back to the Future, The Power of Love, just because it was in Back to the Future, you know? The dun, dun, dun.
The only other one, which actually is more literal for that group, is also by Huey Lewis and the News, Back in Time. And it's literally a song about, you know, going back in time. So there's that one. And then this is going to be, you know, a little weird, but Weird Al. Weird Al Yankovic has a song about time travel where it's titled Everything You Know Is Wrong. And I believe in that song he's actually talking about time travel. If you're a Beatles fan, I got a couple of Beatles references for you. Apparently George Harrison, one of the former members. Well, I guess, I don't know. Can you really consider him former if he doesn't quit?
Yeah. I don't know.
I could be wrong. He may be alive, may not still be alive. I'm not sure. I'm sure I'll get some blowback for not knowing that. But George Harrison did a song called Any Road. It's about time travel. And any true Beatle fan is going to know Yesterday. And I guess you wouldn't really consider that a song about time travel, but it is a song about reminiscing about days gone by, or, you know, mistakes made in the past. So I kind of threw that in just because I can, I guess.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, the only other one I got on there, and this is, it makes me laugh.
Do it.
Cher. If I could turn back time.
That's perfect, man.
If I could turn back time.
That's a good one. I didn't even think of that one. That was a good one.
Who doesn't like Cher, though? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I consider myself pretty straight. I like Cher. I don't give a crap. I'll say it. I'll say it with pride. I like Cher. What?
Yeah, I said it.
Yeah, I said it. So that's it for the music stuff. I like I said, it's kind of hard to talk about time travel related music. But a couple of other subjects we have that aren't hard to talk about, time travel related stuff. Let's go to the TV category, Tone. Anything you could come off with off the top of your head, time traveling and TV?
No, man. I really don't watch too much TV either, so.
Now, I don't really watch a whole lot like I used to. Nowadays, it's more of Netflix and Hulu or what have you. But I know a lot of people that I know in my personal life, which I still have not discovered why they like this show, but Doctor Who. Doctor Who is a huge, apparently, time travel theme-based show where they go through adventures in, I want to say it's called the TARDIS? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
The TARDIS? I don't know. Is that
the TARDIS that's there? TARDIS? It's the phone booth-looking thing or whatever.
Yeah, it's a blue, like, phone booth. So there's that. Quantum Leap, old show where Scott
Bakula. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where he jumps through different time periods as different people, trying to right the wrongs of those people's lives and kind of changing history as he goes. Now, here's one that a lot of people can relate to, and I'm surprised you didn't think about this earlier, son. Family Guy. Family Guy episodes with Stewie and Brian where they travel through time.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the great ones when he goes back and he has to kill his ancestor or whatever. Yeah. Or his evil, that evil guy, I can't think of the guy's name, the little, Stewie's little nemesis or whatever guy goes back and tries to kill Stewie's ancestor so Stewie is never around.
Yeah, I don't remember which one that is either. But the one that comes to the top of my mind of there is Back to the Pilot, where they actually go back to the very first episode and they see how crappily they were drawn, and it was just kind of funny because, you know, they were trying not to mess up the events of what had happened back then so they don't screw up with the future. So yeah, Family Guy, those ones were great. Any of you Buffy and Angel fans out there, there's a few time traveling episodes. Angel, I Will Remember You. I know that was an episode that really was hard to watch for a lot of people as a fan, because in that episode, Buffy and Angel finally had a day where Angel was not a vampire and they thought they were going to be together. And then in order to basically save, I can't remember if it was just to save Buffy or to save the world in general, Angel had to give up that chance of being happy with Buffy and go back to being a vampire, and basically finally ended his relationship with her. It was kind of a sad thing to watch because the price to pay for it was he remembers the day. He remembers the entire day of them being together, but she doesn't know anything about it. So it's one of those things where it's like, I had this one perfect day with the person that I truly love, and she'll never know about it. So that kind of sucked for him. Another one in the Angel series is Time Bomb, where, Tony, you used to watch Angel as well, right?
Yep.
You remember that one where after, God help me, I can't remember, Fred, where she turned into Illyria, where she was possessed by the demon Illyria, and she's starting to lose control over her powers, and she keeps, like, jumping forward and backward through the same day, kind of like a Groundhog Day effect, but Angel and the rest of the crew are trying to figure out a way to suppress her powers before she goes, like, nuclear. Do you remember that at all?
Man, it's been so long since I watched Angel. Yeah, I have the box sets. I just
right. Yeah, it's been forever since any of these shows have been on, but they're still really good to watch. In the Buffy show itself, the episode "Get It Done" was kind of iconic because it's the first. Well, it's when Buffy meets the creators of the first Slayer, so she gets to basically see her own origin story of what it is to be a vampire slayer. So that's just a couple of things off the top of my head that I got for those. If anybody is watching current shows, one of my personal favorites, Castle. There was this episode, Time Will Tell, where this guy kind of comes off as crazy. He keeps claiming he's a time traveler and he was sent back in time to stop this one event from happening. And, you know, Castle isn't really a supernatural-based show. There's nothing really outside of the norm that they don't explain through progression of, you know, forensics or whatever. They kind of simplify everything that goes on. But in this particular episode, there is an event that happens, and I'm not going to give it away, but there's an event that happens in the episode that kind of makes Castle believe at the very end this guy might have actually been from the future. So that was kind of interesting to watch. I don't know. Tone, I'm going to feel weird for asking you this. Did you ever watch Charmed?
No.
No?
No. So, I've seen, like, the box art for it, and I've seen it on Netflix and stuff, but I've never actually watched the show. That's so the one, I think it's, is it Alyssa Milano's in it, and the one chick that's in the Call of Duty DLC is in it, Rose McGowan?
Rose McGowan. Yeah, Alyssa Milano is really pretty much the only reason to watch Charmed, but it's very female-centric, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, except for the fact that they kind of treat all of their guys like crap, so it's kind of hard to watch at times, but there's a couple
of
episodes.
There's probably a lot of girls listening to this like, now you know how we feel when we watch all the other shows.
Yeah, but that's just a subject I'm not going to get into, just because I'm married and I'm not stupid.
Right.
So we're just going to go ahead and move away from Charmed.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch the animated series Gargoyles?
Oh, I loved that when I was younger. I don't remember anything from it, but I just remember I used to always make sure I got up on time to watch that show.
Yep, Gargoyles and The Real Ghostbusters, the animated series. There was an episode where they accidentally step through a time portal that takes them back to 19th century Britain, which, living in New York, I don't know how they find a portal to go to Britain, but it was a cartoon show. I was a kid. I didn't care. It was Ghostbusters. But anyway, they actually accidentally end up capturing the three ghosts of Christmas that was supposed to make Scrooge change his ways, and then by doing so, they accidentally changed the future. So they had to go back again and, you know, not capture the ghosts. It was kind of interesting.
Nice.
But one of my favorite shows right now, other than The Walking Dead, which I'm missing right now, by the way, but I have DVR, thank God.
Right.
Supernatural. Supernatural is a great show. I don't know if you watch it, Tone.
Yeah, I'm only on the second season, so I'm way behind.
You got to get into it, dude. It's so good. I can't remember which season this episode takes place, but it's called Mystery Spot. And in this episode, Sam kind of experiences a Groundhog Day for himself, where Dean keeps getting killed. It's so hilarious. Like, okay, Dean getting killed is not hilarious, but like the amount of times that it happens and the different ways that it happens, it gets just to the point where you're just like, oh my God, Sam, I just quit, dude. Just like go to sleep and don't wake up anymore. Because at one point, he actually tells Dean that he gets hit by a car, and Dean being the way he is, he's like, I got hit by a car? He's like, was it awesome? And Sam was like, you peed yourself. And then Dean didn't have anything to say after that. He just continued eating his breakfast. Nice. So that was a really good one. And then Once Upon a Time. That's one of the other shows that my wife and I watched together. There's quite a bit of time traveling in that show. But that's it for me on the TV side. And I know we have gone on, you know, pretty long about the time travel stuff, but I promise you we only have one more category to talk about. And it's one of the things that is relating to what we are actually doing here, which is talking about games. So, Tony, please, good sir, take us into time travel related games.
So, unfortunately, I got to get ready to go to work, so I got to kind of make this quick. So, I'm just going to ramble through a couple games that I would suggest for time travel. First one being Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time on the Super Nintendo. One of the best games, I think, for the Super Nintendo. I guess I can't really call it one of the best games. It's one of the games I remember from my childhood playing. You go through a lot of levels playing as the different turtles. You had co-op on there. It was nice because it was one of the games that actually had a couple different game modes. It had a versus mode, and I believe they had a time trial mode as well. It's worth playing if you can get your hands on it. There's multiple ways you can play it now. So if you know how to do it, get out there and do it. I'm not going to tell you how to do that. There's plenty of resources on how to get those games now. The easiest way being if you can get the cartridge and having a working Super Nintendo. Another game to play is Super Time Force, which I mentioned earlier. It's a really good game. It's made by Cappy. You play as a... You're going through time. You're trying to fix some things. And they give you some alternate history. Like the Atlantis. It's supposed to be a guy that was holding up Atlantis, and he got hungry, and the people of Atlantis forgot to feed him, and so you kind of go back in time and feed him. It's kind of this goofy thing, and when you die, you can rewind time, and then your character still plays through however you played it, and then your new character plays however you play him, and you can save your old character's life either by killing whatever kills him before it gets to him, or using there's a shield guy you can use. So there's multiple ways you can play. It adds a really good game mechanic. It's definitely a game you should try if you have an Xbox One or a PC. It is coming to the PlayStation 4 and Vita sometime this year, and they are adding Shuhei Yoshida in there. So I think that's going to be neat whenever it comes out. They didn't say a release date, just said 2015. So look for that this year. Hopefully, it comes out soon, because I would definitely try and get that. If you only have a PlayStation system, try and get that when that comes out. It's worth playing. And then last but not least, Life is Strange. I just started it, so you know it's only on the first episode right now. It's decent. It's worth trying. It's only $5 for the first episode. I recommend just grab that first episode. I believe there's a demo out there too, so if you're not certain you're going to like it or not, just grab the demo and try it out and see what you think. I like adventure-based games. The Telltale series are usually really good. And granted, this isn't a Telltale series, but give that one a shot. You can rewind time, redo some of your decisions. One of my knocks on the game is your character, she always second guesses herself, or your choice, I should say, because you can rewind time, so she'll always say, like, after you choose something, she'll say, maybe I should go back and do it a different way, and after a while, like, it's annoying. So that's about, besides the lip-syncing, which Dave said earlier, that's just one of the few knocks I have on the game. So that's all I got, Dave. What do you have?
I'm surprised you didn't mention this, because I thought you had said before that you played it, but Zelda, Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask.
Oh, yeah, yep.
There were some time traveling a lot, especially in, obviously, Ocarina of Time. Then Back to the Future, the episodes by Telltale, which kind of got them really kick-started for the last few games that they've done. I mean, they've always done stuff, but the Back to the Future ones, they did so good that the licensing part of getting them to do games like Game of Thrones and Walking Dead made it easier for them to incorporate their style of gaming into these worlds of these shows and stuff that we like. And then Wolf Among Us with that comic series. So that was a good series as well. BioShock Infinite. I know some people be like, well, that's not really time travel, but it kind of is in a way because it's time travel with parallel dimensions. So you're going through time and through different versions of yourself and the world you're living in. God of War 2. There's time travel involved in there. Kratos goes back in time to prevent himself from being killed by Zeus, who betrays him after the end of God of War 1, when he actually becomes the God of War. And he has to utilize the abilities of the Sisters of Fate at the end of the game. Spoiler alert, it's been out so long, so I don't care anymore. He goes back in time to before when the gods defeat the Titans, and he recruits the Titans to wage an all-out war on the gods, which takes off on God of War 3.
Nice.
The Legacy of Kain series. Great series. Sly Cooper, Thieves in Time. Spider-Man, Edge in Time, which was done by... I don't remember. I feel like crap for not remembering. But that was a really good game because it incorporated a lot of different versions of Spider-Man. And they had different abilities per each respective Spider-Man. And it was just really cool because they didn't stick to the typical, like, okay, we're going to give you the Spider-Man game and you're going to web sling through open areas or whatever, which was admittedly one of my favorite parts about the old Spider-Man games, but this actually had a really good story to it. And now that I was looking, it was developed by Activision and created by Beenox.
Beenox,
weird-ass name.
Right, but yes. Nice.
Edge of Time and Shattered Dimensions. That was the two the two different ones that they did. Shattered Dimensions didn't receive as well as Edge of Time, but that was pretty good Spidey game. Like you said, the Turtles of Time, classic. Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, that was a good one for me too. I played that on PS2? GameCube? I can't remember which. But I liked it, other than the fact that they had that Godsmack, I Stand Alone play every time you got chased by this like dark entity. I don't remember all the details in that one just because I played through it so quickly. But don't get me wrong, I like Godsmack, especially older Godsmack, but it was just so cheesy the way they put that in. Like, I feel like more games should have
licensed music,
but like on that instance it was just like really like, oh my god, that music's queuing up again. Right. It was really kind of annoying.
It's like listening to the radio. They just keep playing Taylor Swift, which, don't get me wrong, she's a good singer and everything, but it's not my kind of music.
Oh, she sings? My bad. Okay, so then Ratchet & Clank feature, A Crack in Time. Anybody who likes the Ratchet & Clank series, that one, I believe, was one of the favorites because of the time-traveling aspect in that one. And then all I got after that is Onimusha 3, an old PS2 game where there was a that, because I'm not Jacques Blanc.
Jean-Claude Z?
Yeah.
Because I mentioned that in the two. The last one.
Yeah, he's not. Woo!
That was delicious.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as it tasted as good going out as it did going in. But, yeah, Michael J. Fox did show up for the very end episode, and it was kind of cool to hear that reunion of Doc Brown and Marty McFly.
Gotcha.
So, that's all I got. That's games, movies, music, books, kind of, all that stuff. So, yep, that should about cover our time-traveling adventures for this month.
Yeah, sorry this episode dragged on a little bit, but usually the ones where you give the suggestions is going to do that because it's kind of a double episode because we go through our normal week and then we add on an extra where we give suggestions and all that. We had to kind of speed it up here at the end because I have to get ready to go to work, so I do apologize for not being able to get into the meat of the games part of it. With that being said, follow me on Twitter. I'm at Tony the Gamer Guy. Follow Dave on Twitter. He's at Deadpool Orta. Check out our YouTube channels. My YouTube channel is Tony the Gamer Guy. You can check out Dave's channel at Goku Orta 5. And as always, have a great day. We appreciate your time. Thanks for listening. Have a great night. And unfortunately, I had to redo the ending of the podcast because some technical difficulties. So Dave won't be here to sign out with me, but he did initially sign out, and he was actually sick, so that's kind of why he sounded the way he did. Dave, I appreciate it. Sorry I lost the end of the podcast here, but hopefully you guys enjoyed it, and we'll see you next week, hopefully. I know I mentioned it. I don't know if I lost it in the podcast or not, but my wife's pregnant, so she's due any time, so there's a chance that next week's episode will be delayed, or maybe even just canceled. So, but I'll keep you posted on Twitter. Again, follow me there at Tony the Gamer Guy. Have a good night or good day.